World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, we're going to move fast today. We're going to move fast. Going to do away with the niceties and jump right in here. We got an action we got involved with. Martin's only got about 10 minutes with us. Before we do that, Spencer, throw that picture of my family up there. Yes, we got little Gemma made it. Little Gemma made it into the world what day was it? Saturday. So there's Maggie, the mother, sitting there fine, and Isaiah, the daddy, and there, what a clan that is there, right? Little Gemma down there, 5 pounds. She had a very complicated pregnancy, fearfully and wonderfully made. She popped out. Mommy and baby hopefully get released today from the horse pistol, as we call them, and God's good. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. And you know what is amazing? That little girl gets the greatest grandma ever born. She gets to have Gigi as her grandmother. She don't even know it yet, right? So we appreciate all the prayers out there. Everybody's been praying for, and look, I'm not trying to rub it in for those of you who don't have grandchildren yet. I swear I'm not trying to rub it in. But what a blessing it is, man, for sure. So God bless you. Thanks for joining. Look, I want to jump into something here real quickly because most of you know Martin and what's been going on with Martin and his job and yada, 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 and trying to get into Kings Island. Kings Island booted him out. And so he's at work right now. So that's why we got to jump him in here right at the beginning because he just needs you guys, us, just to send an email, make a phone call, whatever. So, Martin, tell us your story, but not your life story. And then, folks, after Martin's done, hang in. I got some really, really good stuff, okay? So, Martin, what's up?
Well, thank you so much, Coach, and everybody that watches Coach Dave Live. It's wonderful that you got a new platform. And I'll take all the help from everybody, not just those here in Ohio, those in my close-knit. I just want to say thank you, Coach. So here's what's going on, brother. So I've been going to Kings Island for generations.
Kings Island is a big amusement park here in Ohio. It's Cincinnati. Kings Island. Go ahead.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. And forever, I've just been going there. Well, about a month ago now, I got pulled over by the security. They've got a little internal security personnel that monitors things that happens inside the park. And the first instance was these college kids. I got off of a ride and I was filming the ride. And as I got off of it, because there was a joke that I was going to send to my son, who we just loved going down there. And since he couldn't go with me that night, I just wanted to bring Kings Island to him. And anyway, these two young ladies who were behind me and their boyfriend saw me filming, okay, with my camera on my phone. So the young ladies, the college kids, walk in front of me, and behind me says this young man, please don't film them. And I thought he said, don't film the ride. And I said, well, I was trying to. And then I realized what he said later, and I'm starting to turn off my phone. And because of my dry skin, my touchscreen wouldn't react and wouldn't turn the camera off. And the two young ladies walked in front of my shop, okay, as I'm bringing it to the floor. Long story short, he says, oh, I thought you were filming them. I said, no, I'm a dad. I got girls, you know, I got a daughter. And anyway, that was it. So I'm walking to the other attraction. When I get swatted, you know what that is, where the police are called to your house. And you don't know why. And anyway, I get swatted by a bunch of Kings Island personnel. And long story short, because I didn't tell them, using my constitutional right in Ohio law, tell them my contact information, because I was like, why am I getting pulled over? And I thought I was walking too fast, believe it or not. And no, it's because these college kids contacted them and said, hey, that guy was creepy and started filming me. And I was upset, Coach. And so anyway, they kicked me out because I wouldn't give them my name and my contact information.
You have a full-time pass to Kings Island. You can go anytime you want.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, not only that, Coach, I upgraded and I got the all-year food and the all-year drink, which made my total cost, Coach, right around $400. Right around $400.
So your ticket to Kings Island with food and everything is $400, and you go to Kings Island and they accuse you of taking pictures of girls. Go ahead.
Right. These college kids that walked in front of me, but the male stood behind me and looked like I was filming him, but I was trying to shut my camera off. Anyway, I tell the security personnel what happened. They just say, well, sir, we got it. You're good. But since you won't tell us your contact information, you won't tell us who you are, we got to escort you out. So they shamed walked me from the back of the park all the way through the people and then out the gate. And they wished me a good evening. So I left, and I was shaken up, but I was like, man, that wasn't cool. Well, fast forward 2 weeks from that date, guys, I'm talking to some teenagers. Now, these were teenagers in the Orion roller coaster ride, and I was sharing the gospel with these kids. And I got a very Christian shirt on. It says, I'm a Christian. Are you going to shoot me too? Is on the front of my shirt. And then on the back, it's got the word truth in big bold letters within a gun sight. That's my own design. If you'd like one, contact me. And anyway, I was wearing this shirt and I was ministering to these kids while I was waiting in line to get on the big Giga Coaster. Well, these militant mother lady types step in the conversation, ask the girls mainly, are you guys okay? Come back here and talk to us. And honestly, I knew what these women were doing. I knew what they were doing. And I even thanked them. I said, hey, everything's cool. I'm a dad, though. So thank you for checking in what would be my daughters, you know, because there were some teenage girls in this group that we were talking about Jesus. So anyway, I ticked them off, Coach. I ticked these ladies off because I said, ladies, while we were approaching the roller coaster itself through the queue line, I said, ladies, I gotta speak up about this. I said, you guys are all salty with me because it's a grown older man talking to teenage kids. I said, but did you hear the content of the conversation? No, we didn't care about that because we just think it's inappropriate for a single older, and she called me gentleman, single older gentleman talking to 17-year-old kids. And I said, it's the youth ministry in me. I used to be a youth minister. I said, I'm no longer. I said,
let's move on. Okay, we get it. Let's move on. Okay, so then what happened?
Sorry, giving you all the facts. Just the facts, man. And so I got swatted again. And this time I ended up in a little interrogation room. And because they were cool with me talking to the kids. But what stopped the whole thing and what I got kicked out of Kings Island for one full year was, once again, I was innocent, and telling them my name and number and all my contact information basically said I'm guilty of doing something inappropriate. So I said, no, I'm not giving you my name, not giving you my contact information, and whether or not I'm a season's pass holder. Well, I got it all recorded, Coach. And because this time I got smart. And so I get
okay, so let's move on there. So then they throw you out. They throw you out and tell you what? You can't come back for a year?
For a year.
Okay. So what do you want us to do?
I need you to contact the general manager and the three heads of security. And I'll have all that information, guys, in the chat. And if Mr. Producer could post that in the after show notes, that would be awesome. So
Martin,
all I need you to do.
Martin, what would you like him to say?
Please restore Mr. Nichols's pass. He didn't do anything wrong. Your investigators proved that. And within Ohio and the United States Constitution and the federal Constitution, he was not required to give you, as an innocent man,
too many details. You want to email them and say, we stand with Martin and his unconstitutional treatment at Kings Island.
Coach, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Because all that, yes. Look, they're not reading the emails. They're just counting the emails. Right? You guys understand that?
On that, Coach, and I meet people for business. I mean, I talk because I got the Busman report. People want to meet me. And if they were in Ohio and they're taking their family somewhere, I say, hey, meet me at Kings Island at such and such place within Kings Island. So it's even inhibiting. It's caused me some pretty great distress, to be honest, because I've loved this place since I was a kid. And I'm just like, man, you know.
Okay, so, then none of that matters. I don't care if you hate the place. You got a ticket. You're on it. You're allowed to go there. You're allowed to take pictures. You're allowed to talk. We get it. Okay, so Martin, there are people in here who will. It's important we fight this fight. The contact information is good. Spencer just asked me where. Where is that information going to be, Martin?
Are you in the chat?
It's in the chat?
I gotta get out the phone and put it in. I just arrived at the shop. So I'm talking, okay. So I can't type and talk at the same time. Gotcha. So during your program for your hour, before your hour's up, Coach, it'll all be in the chat. And thank you, Jared, for posting it.
Okay, that's what I will do. Just send an email. Folks, look, listen to me. Don't write them 14 pages. All they're going to do is read they're going to read the headline, and that's all they're going to do. Trust me on that, okay? Huh? Just say, we stand with Martin and his unconstitutional treatment at Kings Island. Just simple, man. And they're just going to count them. They're not going to read them. You're not going to convict him. You're not going to make him feel bad by writing you. They're just counting, huh? And they don't want the bad. They don't want the bad publicity. They don't want.
That's a big boom, Coach. And Coach Dave Live, any and all people, no matter where you are in our great nation or even around the world, I could greatly use your voices. Let's crush this stuff, guys. Coach is all about doing this kind of thing. So here's an easy way to help out your brother by just spending 2 minutes. And send him a short email that Coach
said. You don't even have to talk to people. Just send an email.
Just send an email because then it's recorded for in case I go to litigation. Yes.
That's number.
The emails first. Yes.
So, Martin, you'll get it in the chat. We'll get it in the chat, and then we'll make it available to people. And they could start doing that even right now during the show. If we had the email, could do it right now, right? Because, folks,
Coach Dave.
This stuff's going to go on if we just continue to look the other way. Say, well, that's what we have to expect. And we're getting near the end, and persecution's going to increase. Well, it is. Are we going to push back against it or not? It's really pretty simple. You say, well, it's not a big deal to me, Coach. It's just what's Martin doing going to the amusement park anyway? Will you stop it? Even if Martin was a pervert, he has rights, doesn't he? Can they just go out and throw you out based on what they think you might be doing?
And for the record, I'm not, but thanks, Coach.
Yeah, right? So okay, so we'll get that, we'll move forward with that, all right? Sooner the better. Martin needs his, he wants to go ride the roller coaster. Is there any man out there who, when he goes to Kings Island, doesn't look at the pretty girls? come on!
Not that I was, guys. They're kids to me. They got
You're looking at pretty girls. Are you taking their picture? Well, you know what? If they're in a public place, you're allowed to take their picture, by the way. Oh, my goodness, huh? Nobody made them walk into front of Martin's camera, right? Go ahead, Dr. Paul. You're in. Thanks, Martin. We're off and running here. Go, Paul.
Sounds a little bit like pre-crime. Remember, this is what they're pulling off in England and Canada. So you don't want this crap coming here.
No, just saying.
Where's that email? Let's get those emails out.
Hey, Paul, they can teach transgender to your kindergarten child, but don't be taking pictures at Kings Island. Come on, folks. Yeah. Come on, folks. Demony, criminy. That's one of the things that's happened to us in our American government. Somebody help me out here. Do you think when you go before a court that you're guilty until proven innocent. How many would say, yep, yep, that's what it is. When they arrest you, you have got to prove yourself innocent, because in their mind, they're guilty or they would never arrest you, right? So Martin, just using it as an example, people say, well, they wouldn't have arrested him if he wasn't doing something out of the ordinary. Really? You mean like giving you a jab? Are you talking about that? Arresting you for not giving you a jab? Firing you from your job for not giving you a jab? Shooting you in your car? Right? Shooting you in, oh, well, he must have deserved it. Paul must have deserved to get shot because the police wouldn't shoot him, right? Right? Folks, something going on. So you are neither endorsing Martin's behavior or not endorsing. You're just simply saying, what the hell's going on? How do you bar a guy from Kings Island without any, right? That's really what we're talking about. Okay, we'll move on. It's all good. Anybody got anything you want to say about that? I'm going to move on. We have the prettiest grandbaby ever born. Little Gemma Sue is just unbelievable. And I showed you that picture just because, just explain it to my grandkids. As we're going to the hospital, you got a new little sister. You got a new little sister. And for them to just kind of even understand. Maggie looks pretty good for popping out child number five there, doesn't she? She looks pretty good. Isaiah's a great daddy. And Gemma is a gem, Ray. All right. So another girl. But I'm so proud of my wife for raising such godly daughters. That's all I can say. She, my wife, is, wow. What godly daughter, and Isaiah is a good godly husband. And folks, what would America be like if we did this? If we taught our children to get married, stay true to your marriage, raise children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And do you understand that in the culture in which we live, that group that you're looking right at there on TV, on the screen, you understand that the left thinks that's the enemy? There's the enemy. You do get it, don't you? They think there's the enemy. There's MAGA. They're right there, MAGA. Look at those MAGAs, right? Huh? God help us, man. God help us. The battle that we're in, we have to learn to stand up and fight and push back against it. And boom, 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 boom. Okay, I'm going to jump in. We're going to get rolling here. Anybody have anything for the good of the group? Anything? Any big news over the weekend you want to share? Anything? Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Congratulations, our coach.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't do anything.
Well, you did. That kid wouldn't be here without you, Coach. I can tell you right now.
Man, is that ever the truth, right?
Yeah, praise God. We had a great time of fellowship with the Mickles over the weekend. We went to Communion America. For those that didn't hear about it, it was in D.C., a good 30,000 people, whatever, joined together to have communion Saturday night. Mm-hmm. They had a table set up. It was a mile and a half long.
Wow.
And it was a great time. They had tents from 50 states. All 50 states were there, and they had people from all 50 states. So you got a chance. It was actually a good time of fellowship because you got a chance to walk down and meet people from other states, pray with people. People pray over you, sing with people. I was really encouraged. There was a lot of young people there. A lot of young people.
Well, something going on with the young folks. I'm telling you.
In fact, it was probably 70% younger people, which is awesome, right? I would say maybe that might be a little high, but it was definitely they outnumbered the older folks, which was a good thing. So that was great. I want to thank the Mickles as well, Coach, who we met through Pass the Salt. We had a good time of fellowship. I appreciate their hospitality. It was a good time.
That is so awesome, folks, the relationships that are being built through this clunky Coach Dave Live thing, man. You know what it is, really? You find more like-minded people here than you do in your own church, really, for the most part. In your church, you really don't know who's on your side, do you? You finding that out, Ray? You really don't know, right? And so Ray LeBlanc goes out on the streets in Wisconsin and preaches the truth, and Ray, some church people are mad that you're doing it, aren't they? They're mad that you're doing it. You're making Christianity look bad, Ray. You're just not supposed to do it. Come on in here, Ray.
To piggyback on Dave, I appreciate him being there at D.C. And Pastor Schmidt that we had over the weekend, I guess he's pretty well-known character. He's done a lot. And he's walked the walk with Dimitri Dudeman, and he was there in D.C. He drove all the way back to be with us this yesterday morning.
Wow.
From D.C. He did that whole gambit there in D.C. too. And then he came in at 10 o'clock and did our church service and stayed until 4:30. And we rented the Chestnut Art Center, and he continued there. It was less than 30 people that showed up, but I had Marshfield Broadcasting came and volunteered to film it all. So it's going to go out to the airwaves soon. So it's a blessing.
What do you think it is? Why won't others join with you? Do you hear from other pastors at all, Ray? Do you hear from
I think them? It's because I'm just a little peon. I don't have a 501c. I don't have a large following. They're not going to follow Ray. They don't want to be associated with me. I'm a nobody here, they think. You know, their church, that's where it's at. You know, we got church up the street. They had 340 people showed up at their church. And you wouldn't believe the music that they got and the instruments and the singing. Yeah. Oh, it was a great time. And the best coffee in town, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So that's where people want to be.
So, Ray, have you any outreach at all from any other pastors? Look, I'm speaking to pastors right now who might be listening.
Yeah.
Because Ray, hang on, Ray. Mm-hmm. Ray is really, you know, he's really put it on the line, man. He stepped out. He's going to city council and talk to him about the drag queen show. He and Ray, are you building a coalition? Are they coming, running to your side?
They're turtles. They walk pretty slow. And they're starting to walk. I think I see some coming. And I had one church when I went to city council, 5 members showed up. And I sent letters out every chance I get to 20 churches here. That I believe or Bible believe. I think eventually, you know, I'm praying that they're going to come along and support us, especially my biggest goal is to go after these drag queen operations at our park every year.
Amen.
And put a kibosh to it. So we'll see.
Ray, we're proud of you, man. We're proud of you. Anything we can do.
It's all for the Lord. Help me.
By the way, folks, just the kind of stuff matters. You guys monthly support Ray and what he's doing. I want you to know that. You guys do. Not me, not Pass Assault Ministries. You monthly support him. You help him doing what he's doing. And I just want you to know we're doing a lot of that stuff. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, this is kind of a off the wall thing. Pull up my Facebook page real quickly. I'm going to show y'all something on my Facebook page. This just y'all scrolling down. Keep going. I'll tell you when. Keep going. There. Folks, I just posted this weekend because a lot of you don't know this. This is from 2014, if you see that. And Equality Ohio, don't you love it? Equality Ohio. They're the big homosexual group, right? So in 2014, which would be, what, 11 years ago, I was set to be hired as the – thank God the Lord blocked it, okay? I get it, Lord. I was set to be hired as the football coach here at my local school where I graduated. I was the star back in the 1970s, right? And so the word was out that they were going to hire me, and at Equality Ohio comes out with Don't Hire Dave. And when we went to the school board, hey, Ray, this is going somewhere. Stay with me. The night that they were supposed to hire me in 2014, the night they were supposed to hire me at the school board meeting, you know what they did, Ray? Anybody out there know what they did the night that they were going to hire me? Anybody? You're thinking, right? You're thinking.
They waved flags out front, right?
The welcoming party. No. They bombarded the school board with phone calls and emails. They went public, don't hire Dave. And we show up at the school board meeting on that night, and I've got 3 supporters, and the audience is packed with people who don't even live in our district who wanted to protect the homos. Now, I posted this. Just, folks, I've been at this a while, okay? I know what Martin's gone through. I've been at this. Scroll down just a little bit because I want to show you something. The reason I put this up there, wait a minute, Spencer, maybe it's at the top. I put this up there because the local school, where I would have been coaching, they got beat, 71-0. They beat 71 to nothing the other night. That's why I posted it, right? And we're living in a culture and a society. Again, scroll down a little bit. Click on Seymour. Click on Seymour. Seymour. Right there in the middle. See, right under my picture. Yep. Maybe it doesn't see it. That's what they did. So they had everybody sign a petition. Friends, look, this is not about me. This is how this game is played. When are we going to understand this is how this game is played? What if all the churches did this in regards to transgenderism in the school? Hanging the gay flag in the schools? What if the Christians, hey, Ray, are there any Christians up there in Wisconsin that maybe could all get together and go to the school board member and send emails and make phone calls? And do you think we could stop that, Ray? I think we probably could. And so that night at the school board meeting, I found this out later, I was 5-0 to be hired. It'd be like hiring Woody Hayes. I mean, my resume was that good, right? 5-0 to hire me. And when the meeting was over, 3-2 against me. That's what happened. Why? Because they showed up. Folks, the whole bullying night, this is what Coach Dave said. It's what they, on Coach Dave Live, well, maybe I wasn't even doing it then. Folks, the whole bullying idea is built around the homosexual agenda. You understand that? To try to get people not to criticize or make fun or poke fun at the homosexuals. I'd said that on my show. That's the truth, isn't it? Why did they not hire me? Because I was confronting the homosexual agenda. Okay, I'm going to quit talking about me, right? But if you scroll down a little bit, maybe it tells you somewhere. We have the Lakewood High School, where they didn't hire me. There it is. They have the worst record in the last seven. They got beat 71 to nothing, but they have the worst record in the state of Ohio over the last 13 years. Win losses. The worst. They're dead last in the state of Ohio. I guess we call that general. Okay, shut up. Let's move on. But some of you don't know I went through all this stuff, right? I went through it. And I saw how good the other side plays together. And again, Ray, how many churches are standing with you up there in Wisconsin, Ray?
1.5, maybe.
I don't know. Okay, cool. Let me see. Pull up number 4. By the way, I'd like it to be kind of open line today. There's a lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of stuff that's going on. And this is Jim Brewer. He's a comedian, a funny guy. But I saw this, thought, man, is this ever the truth? Hang on. Hey, Dave Allison, Ray, I'm looking at names here. Anybody think we could be winning these fights? Does anybody out there think that we could be winning some of these fights if we actually tried to win them? Could we be winning them? And am I a bigot simply because I don't want my children to learn about sodomy in the second grade? That makes me a bigot, really? When in fact, they're the bigots because they don't want my children to learn about Christianity. They want to determine what to see. So Jim Brewer, a comedian, is pretty good. It's only 1.5 minutes. Go ahead.
I had mayors, despicable, disgusting. They're not human. They're disgusting. And they should be held accountable, all of them. Every single last one of them. Every mayor, every governor that shamed you, terrorized you, tore your family apart, made you lose your job, divided everybody. That was the most disgusting display of humanity. And these are the people that are controlling my life and your life, that they're taking my money from and doing whatever they want with it. I don't have a choice where my taxes go. That time, that's how I saw it. I saw it as a complete takeover. And in my own house, you know, these kids are all indoctrinated. So the kids are like, Dad's crazy. Hey, man, your father's putting up. And I saw what they were going through. I had nieces. You know, I had my daughter come up to me, and a niece that I love said, Dad, is everything cool? Because everyone thinks you're, you know, you're making wacky videos. I felt we're at war. 100%. This is war, however you want to describe it. It's a war on your common sense. It's a war on the control of your life. It's the war on your spirituality. It's the war of your conscience and your mind. And it's not a game. It's real. Unfortunately, humanity doesn't believe that evil exists. And boy, does it exist.
It does.
And you'd be horrified when you realize where they're all located. And I'm not sure some people can handle that. But I think the ones that can are very ready. Very ready. They're done.
That'd be us. That'd be us. That'd be Ray LeBlanc and Dave Allison and Randy Lunsford and Jeff Klein. That'd be us. We're done with it. We're done with it. And the truth of it is, hey, Spencer, pull that picture back up of my family. Pull that picture back up. Those little kids are going to live in the world I leave them, folks. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Those kids are all homeschooled, all of them. But they're going to be released into a country, a nation, that doesn't believe their values unless we do something. Unless we stand up and push back. We're saying, the Bible says we make our children a prey. Where is that? That's in, it might be in Isaiah. I don't know if you could, somebody could search that for me. When we teach our children Christian values, we make our children a prey. Oh yeah. They'll be locking up little Declan. They'll be locking, well, anyway, Jack McCarthy. Come on in, Jack.
It's so simple. It is so stinking simple, but people don't even get it. Good people. I'm just stunned. We had a situation here locally, and one of the towns has a big problem with their town manager, and the town councils are quitting. They only got two town councilors. So, I mean, the solution is simple. Why don't the churches in that town put people up to run for the town council? We can take over the town council in one vote. Take it completely over. Run the town. And I called three pastors, and that would be a good idea. They don't think of it. They just don't think of it. We could simply have a Christian takeover of a town in nothing flat with almost no effort. All they're going to do is put somebody up to run. What the heck?
Jack,
and not one of them thought about it.
Jack, they're going to elect a terrorist as governor in New York. You guys do understand that, right? This guy's a Muslim terrorist, right? And see, this all comes back to the founding. Separation between the church and state does not, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. The only reason that Muslims can be Muslim in America is because the Christian Constitution granted them the individual right to do that. But to think that they now have the right, Islam now has the right to stand shoulder to shoulder with Christianity. No. That wasn't the way it was formed, folks. That wasn't the way it was set up. But my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and the average pastor probably doesn't understand it. Okay, I got something else I'm going to show you. Pull up.
Oh, one quick thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Read the source documents. The source documents. We quote the Bible, but we don't quote the Constitution. We quote what somebody told us. Who told you that? Who told you that? Read it for yourself, for goodness sake. It's simple.
Spencer, pull up First Amendment again. I've done this before, okay? First Amendment, Congress shall make no law. Hang on. Judges aren't Congress, are they? Judges aren't Congress? So here's the way it should work, friends. Let's say that the courts say, judges say, men should be allowed to marry men. It's unconstitutional to say men can't marry men, the judges say. Well, the judges just can't say all of a sudden gay marriage is legal because they don't have that authority, because Congress makes the law. You understand that? Congress makes the law. And so if the courts say, Gee, gays have a right to get married. It goes to a vote of the people, folks. The Supreme Court just doesn't make something legal or not legal. It goes to the vote of the people. That's why it says Congress shall make no law. The ruling of a judge is not a law. It's an interpretation of the law. Sometimes by four people, 4-3, the entire law changes. Or is it 5-4? Maybe it's 5-4. 9 people in the Supreme Court. So Congress, who makes the law, shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. In other words, no church of America, like the head church of England, with the president being head of the church. That's the establishment. Huh? Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Can Christianity be, is it allowed in the schools? Well, they can't make a law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We're bridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of Pastor Bill Dunphy and those guys to show up to peaceably to assemble the government for a redress. Hey, folks, Congress can't make any law. Congress can't make a law. And yet we have all kinds of court decisions because why? Congress can't make a law. So they get the judges to interpret the law when in fact it makes a new law. Go ahead, Jack.
David Whitney has an excellent video on why every Christian should study the Constitution. It's an excellent teaching, and it's simple. It's not.
Hey, Jack. Look, I don't need it. I'm not being critical. I don't need a book to understand what that says right there. Does anybody need a cook a book to understand what that? It'd be like this: Michelle shall make no pies. Does that mean I can't make a pie? Does that mean Ray can't make a pie? Congress, who makes pies, can't make a pie. That's what they're saying, right? So we'll go to the judges, and we'll let the judges make the pie. Unelected judges get to make the pie. Can somebody explain to me why you can get 5-4? How you can get, Ray, would 5-4 vote be like 50-50? That'd be like 50-50, wouldn't it? If a vote's 5-4. So 5 of them think it's this, and 4 of them think it's this. And so, all right, let's change the law because 5 of us think it's this, and only 4 of us think it's this. We've got to, we have to reclaim our court. That's a whole different story. We've got to reclaim our court. Okay. This was really good. And again, I'm not trying to change anybody's view on anything. Glenn Beck, number 5. Glenn Beck clearly articulates here what I've been saying in regards to the nation of Israel. Put it at 1.5 speed. I think we can play it on that. And we're not going to watch the whole thing, but he just articulates. Play it.
I want you to really hear me carefully. There is a grave, grave danger that is building. And I want to talk to you about it. I saw it last night with my own eyes in a very small number. I want to make this really clear. Very small number of students. I saw it last night, and I want to talk to you about it. But first, let me set it up with this. So Christopher Rufo wrote, on the right, many supporters of Israel, I think that would be you and me, many supporters of Israel, because I'm a supporter, including prominent Republican politicians, argue that America has a theological duty to support the Jewish state. Now, I think personally, for me, I feel that's true. But what does that mean exactly? I'll get into it in a minute. Their view is based on a complex interpretation of Bible prophecy. As a Catholic, I find it mystifying. As a political analysis, I find it unconvincing. Analyst, sorry. The other supporters would like to shut down critical analysis of the war altogether, equating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism and suggesting those who question the wisdom of America's support should be unwelcome in polite society. I want you to know, on the outset, absolutely wrong. Because you disagree with Israel does not make you an anti-Semite. Doesn't. It doesn't. It makes you a thinking human being, honestly. These moves might have been effective in the past, but not so much anymore. Instead of theological or shame-based approaches, friends of Israel must frame their arguments in terms of America's national interest. 100% right.
Who's that?
100% right.
Okay, listen. We need to frame the whole Middle East debate based on what's best for America. Does anybody disagree with that? Huh? Think of the money we have blown on wars in the Middle East. As Glenn Beck's going to talk about here, not defending a religion, but defending a government. Go ahead.
We need to understand our national interest. So, hear me out on this. So you know, I have received the Defender of Israel Award from Benjamin Netanyahu years ago. I was just named by the Jerusalem Post as the number one Christian supporter of Israel in America. So, I'm kind of known as, I guess, a Zionist. Okay, I believe that Israel has a right to exist and the Jewish people have a right to live. Somehow or another, you get awards for saying that. But I want you to understand something. My support is not blind loyalty, nor is it anything that is makes me Israel first. Doesn't. God first, America second. Israel is in the pile of everything else. Okay, my first citizenship is to the kingdom of Christ. My second citizenship is to America. I will do nothing that will violate my citizenship, my passport to the kingdom of God. And I certainly won't violate things for my first citizenship to save my second citizenship. But that's the rank of my citizenship. God first, America right behind it. In the earthly sense, America first. Okay? No loyalty to the government of Israel. In fact, there's many things I don't like about the government of Israel. But you know what? I'm not a citizen. I don't vote. And I don't have to worry about their laws. When it comes to war, I want nothing to do with that foreign war. Or quite honestly, almost any foreign war. I'm tired of paying for it. I'm tired of our blood being shed. I want nothing to do. That's not my support of Israel or the Jewish people. What is required when we talk about these things is Israel's existence is not just about their national survival. It is about the survival of Western civilization itself. It is the only lone beacon in the Middle East that is standing against radical Islam. They're the only ones. They're the number one target of radical Islam. Now, look at what's happening in the Middle East right now. Those countries that we used to think of as having real radical ties, now Saudi Arabia, they're actually saying, you know what, we can coexist. That's what's necessary, coexistence in the Middle East. As long as we have a reason, as long as we believe we each have a reason to live and we have a right to live, we can solve any problem. We can solve any problem. They are facing
you get
Islamicist
evil. Put the rest
evil.
Of it in the chat, right? Huh? So it's what they warned us against, right? The industrial, the war... The war faction, the money being made off of wars. Folks, do you understand? You got to understand this. You got to understand this, that the military industrial complex is for foreign wars. Why are they for foreign wars? M-O-N-E-Y. So Glenn Beck just articulated what I have said all along. I support Israel, but not the government. I support America, but not always the government. Why do we have to have blind allegiance to an Israeli government? That's the debate. That's the debate. And as Beck said, if you question it, you're what? Anti-Semitic. Happens right here on this show. Happens right here. Put my grandkids back up there. Put my grandkids up. I'm just going to say this. I don't want a one of them in the Middle East fighting for Israel. Does anybody think of something wrong with me for saying that? Any of those go to the Middle East to fight for Israel? No. Now, if they want to stand here and they want to fight for the good old U.S. of A., I'd be proud of them. Be proud of them to do that. But I don't want them to enlist in the army to go fight for a foreign country. I don't want to do that. Sorry. And it's all the military industrial complex that we see going on. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. You know, I just think about the whole COVID thing and they shut down the educational system. It's like they snuffed out education completely.
Yep.
So nobody even knows even how to live day by day, let alone we're just going to get squashed because people don't know. They don't understand. People are so wrapped up in what they're going to get from the government. Now you got that guy who's probably going to get elected over in New York. Yep. I mean, all those people, because they can't earn a good living financially because they don't have education. So they depend on the government. So this guy's coming in telling them everything he's going to give to them. And what they don't know, they're being fooled. It's once he gets in, it's a bait and switch, and it's over.
It's what it says in 2 Thessalonians. Because we rejected the truth, the Lord sends a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And folks, I don't know about you. Can you believe some of the things people you know and love believe? I think, what the hell happened to you? How can you be that stupid that you would believe that? Huh? Now, hang on. Tell me Donald Trump didn't really get another jab. Huh? Come on now. Not the real one. Tell me he took a phony booster. Well, I'm telling you, so crazy, crazy. Okay, I got someplace else to go. This is going to be kind of fun, too. Pull up number two. Number two. Wow. Now, I want all of you to watch this, okay? Want you, but we're going to play Masonic in the Masonic in Washington, D.C. Put it at about 1.5 speed and just play a few minutes of this, okay? Folks, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And they told us there was a separation between the church and state because they wanted to get rid of the Christian God to put in the Masonic God. Go ahead.
More evidence is growing by the day that the federalization of Washington, D.C. Metro Police by President Trump does, in fact, involve cleaning out the underground satanic networks as well as petty crime and homelessness on the streets. Turns out that, as we've reported on this over the past couple of months here on the show, that these underground satanic tunnels underground underneath Washington, D.C., and actually members of the House of Representatives have actually called these out, and they've lost their jobs for telling the truth about what's actually down here, what's actually going on underneath D.C. It turns out these satanic networks would compromise public officials by using these underground SRA rituals, thereby impacting the performance of federal institutions, which basically constitutes treason. And Trump knows about it. And the inner circle knows about it. That's why they're doing this. And by the way, the mayor of D.C. just admitted that crime has now plummeted in D.C. thanks to the federalization of the National Guard troops that are in Washington, D.C. Crime has all but disappeared thanks to the U.S. military being there. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Dr. Michael Sala was the man that broke the story originally. He broke it wide open a number of weeks ago here on our show and now has more evidence. More evidence is emerging that he was right. In fact, doctor, welcome back to the show. Great to see you. Oh, it sounds like you're muted, doc. We good now?
Yes, I was muted, so...
Oh, no worries. Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. We always have our guests mute their microphones before they join us because we have other guests live on the show, so they might hear like a cat in the background or a dog in the background. So that's us asking you to mute, so thank you. But I do want to bring your attention to this new headline that just came out about military lawyers handling civilian crimes in Washington, D.C. And I think, to your point, this is further evidence that this is exactly... You cannot rely on the Satanists that are running Washington, D.C. to prosecute their own, can you? You need the military to basically step in Washington and now handle the caseload from these people.
Well, that's right. Yes. I mean, what we have here is a situation where these satanic networks have been operating for decades, compromising officials from all branches of government, including the judiciary, which is very, very important, because that means when it comes to the arrest of Satanists that are apprehended, you know, in these underground enclaves, which can extend as far as 10 miles underground in Washington, D.C. And elsewhere around the country, that when it comes to trying these officials, you can't do it through the normal court system because a lot of these judges are compromised themselves. So the normal courts cannot operate. And in such a situation, that's where the military courts come in. And also another consideration for why these Satanists being arrested are being subjected to some kind of military judicial process is that the punishment in the civilian court.
You hear him calling them Satanists? How come we don't do that? Why don't we call them Satanists? Go ahead.
Courts for sedition or treason is a maximum of 20 years imprisonment and a fine or both. Whereas in the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, people that are convicted of sedition, treason are sentenced to death. And now normally the USMJ, that does not apply to civilians unless martial law has been declared or as in the situation currently in the United States where normal judicial courts can't function. Now, of course they can function, at a superficial level in dealing with petty crime and so forth. But as far as trying individuals that have been compromised, which includes members of the judiciary, I think you can make a very strong case that
I'm running out of time. Pull up for me. You read Tom Horn, the late Tom Horn, the late great Tom Horn. Number one, the Masonic view. Pull that one up, Spence. It's number one. You put it at 1.5. As I said, Tom's passed away. The pagan entities ruling over America. Friends, after we play a little bit of this, I want you to watch this whole thing. Okay? It's what we're dealing with. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and power. It ain't Republican, Democrat. No, 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 no. Dark, dark forces in control of American government. Go ahead. 1.5.
Before and after the presidency of Donald Trump, the United States was, and now it is again, on what I would call an intentional trajectory to fulfill what famous Freemason Manly P. Hall described as the secret destiny of America, which includes a future national and global subservience to the God of Freemasonry, a deity that most Americans would not imagine when reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to one nation under God. In fact, the idea by some that the United States was established as a monotheistic Christian nation by those who designed Washington, D.C., and that the God referred to on American currency as a Judeo-Christian one, it's really a puzzling conclusion when reflected against the deistic beliefs of so many of the founding fathers, as you can see perpetually viewed in the so-called supreme architect deism of Freemasons and in the supreme judge of the world and the divine providence notations that are in the Declaration of Independence and other founding documents, as well as the countless pagan icons that actually dominate the symbols, the statues, the buildings, the seals that were carefully drafted under official government auspices, the Great Seal of the United States, primary among them, which Manly P. Hall, the famous Freemason, rightly called the signature of that exalted body of Masons who designed America for what he called a peculiar and particular purpose. It all bears rich symbolism, forecasting anything but Christianity. As a matter of fact, when Christians in the 1800s argued that a hypothetical annihilation of the United States would lead to antiquaries of succeeding centuries, and by that they meant historians, concluding that America had been a heathen nation based on the symbolism of the Great Seal, Congress was pushed to create something reflecting the Christian faith of so many of its citizens. U.S. President and Freemason Theodore Roosevelt, he strongly opposed this idea, but other Masons weren't as frustrated with the plan because, given the ambivalence of the term God and the axiom that interpreted within the context of the Great Seal's symbolism, this certainly would not infer the biblical Christian God. Therefore, the slogan "In God We Trust," whoever you believe that God is, was accommodated by Masons and other Illuminatus, who therefore approved as the official U.S. motto the phrase "In God We Trust." In my book, Zenith 2016, which among other things noted that the year of Donald Trump's presidential election had been foreseen by prophets and sages for thousands of years as the apex date when governments would begin shifting toward the spirit that is predicted on the Great Seal of the United States, the Antichrist, followed by the actual man of sin's arrival and acceptance on the global stage in the year 2025, which people will discover in the new book Zeitgeist 2025. But this was to illustrate the point in my book Zenith 2016 that one definitely would not determine that the God in America's official motto refers to the Father of Jesus or a biblical Trinity. I wrote in that book, quote, "Imagine yourself as a space traveler who visits Earth in a fictional post-apocalyptic world. Digging through the rubble of the once thriving planet, you come across a copy of a U.S. $1 bill with the two-sided Great Seal of the United States joined in the middle by the phrase, 'In God We Trust.' Upon consideration, you ask yourself, what God did this refer to? And with no preconceptions, you allow the symbolism on the seal to speak for itself, from which you quickly determine that this had been a great culture who worshipped Egyptian and Greek deities, especially a particular solar one whose all-seeing eye glares from atop an unfinished Egyptian pyramid. Upon further investigation into the specific beliefs of the strange group whose members had influenced the Great Seal, you discover from their highest masters, including one illustrious Albert Pike, that the sun god they venerated so highly had been known to them at various times in history by the names Apollo, Osiris, and Nimrod," end quote. Now, I made that argument in Zenith 2016 because, unknown to most Americans and certainly to the average Christian, the Great Seal's mottos and symbolism relate to both Osiris and Apollo specifically, and yet as one. Osiris is the dominant theme of the Egyptian symbols, his resurrection and return, while the mottos of the seal point directly to Apollo and the eagle, a pagan emblem of Jupiter, to Apollo's father. For instance, the motto Annuit Coeptis, this is from Virgil's Aeneid, in which Ascanius, the son of Aeneas from conquered Troy, prays to Apollo's father, Jupiter, or Zeus. Charles Thompson, the designer of the Great Seal's final version, condensed line 625 of Book 9 of Virgil's Aeneid, which reads, "Jupiter omnipotens, audacibus, annuit coeptis," which means all-powerful Jupiter favors the daring undertaking. He condensed that down to annuit coeptis. He approves our undertaking. While the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages, was adapted in 1782 from inspiration that Thompson found in a prophetic line in Virgil's Eclogue 4, which reads Magnus ab integro seclorum nascitor ordo, from Virgil's Eclogue 4, line 5, the interpretation of the original Latin being, "and the majestic roll of circling centuries begins anew." Now that phrase is from the Cume Sibyl, a pagan prophetess of Apollo, identified in the Bible as a demonic deceiver, and it involves the future birth of a divine son spawned from a new breed of men sent down from heaven when he receives the life of gods and sees heroes.
Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. In other words, yes, Judd, it's Luciferian worship. Our government, our dollar, Luciferian worship, right? People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't understand. That's why we have to realize that the District of Columbia ain't America, folks. It's the American corporation, maybe, but it's not the United States of America. Come on, come on. And until we understand the infiltration of the dark side, the serpent, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, we're never going to understand what's going on in the American government. Got 6 minutes left. Somebody come on in. I've given you some good stuff to chew on. If you're going to do your homework, do your homework. If you're not going to do your homework, continue to believe what the government's telling you. Open phone. Come on in.
Hey, I'll come in, Coach.
Go ahead, John.
Hey,
go on, Brett.
Don't forget to send those emails for Martin. Help a brother out. And right. All you Satanists out there, hope you plug into Coach Dave Live because we're coming for it.
Hey, we got to wake up the church. I'm not trying to wake up the other team. I'm trying to wake up our team, Brett. Keep after him. Thanks,
oh,
man.
By the way, if you would have been that coach, you'd have been the all-time winningest coach in the state of Ohio.
I'm just telling you, man. They chose homos over winning football. And then Lakewood High School has the worst record. I don't know if I can find that. I sent that to them. The worst record in the state
of Ohio. Hey, Coach, how does that homo linebacker take on the ISO? How's that work out?
Well, you can be a homo and still be a good football player. I don't care if you're a homo. If you can tackle somebody, you get to play. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, I just grateful to God for the opening of my eyes and my ears, and I pray that he works through me to spread his gospel truth, because amen, that's all we got, man.
Hey, Johnny, it's a war, though. We got to look at it and understand that it's a war. And can I tell you this? They've seized the levers of power. The other side has. And then what's the church's answer to it? Evacuate. We're going to get out. We're not going to do anything about it. We'll be out of here soon. You're going to leave it to my grandkids. Is that what you're going to do? Thanks. Appreciate it. Dr. Paul.
Hey, Coach. I'm going to post this. If you guys can bring it up, it'll be kind of an interesting topic about how judges get away with murder. Go ahead and bring that up if you can. See this guy, Coach?
Yeah, I saw this morning.
This is my EMT. He's the judge in the town, and he's a ex-NYPD detective. So after I was shot, he let me bleed out for over an hour and a half. Then he jailed me for 4 months. Then he wouldn't recuse himself for a whole year. Now it's in a different court. And they don't know what to do with this case. But if you read his bio, he's totally pro-COVID. He was the hero of the town. I mean, when they found out who I was, I mean, it was all over the internet that I was being punished because of COVID. This is what it looks like, Coach. But this is what these judges do. This is a small town judge who thinks he could just destroy a life and kill me.
They elect their own people, Paul. He's a member of the Knights of Columbus. Right there it is, right?
Well, I don't know what he's a member, but he's certainly not a Christian.
Says it right there. He's a Ulan Fire Department is a member of the Lions Club and Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, he's a big hero, all right.
Yep. Folks, that's what we're dealing with, right? We don't like to talk about or believe these secret societies, but it's real. Reals can be. They get their own elected. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, update on the rally on the square yesterday, glorifying Christ. Three people got saved, three of them baptized right there in a big tub.
Awesome.
It was good. Had five pastors show up and speak. So it's a start.
Yeah, it sure is a start. In Mount Vernon, Ohio, brother, that was a righteous city at one point, wasn't it, Jeff?
Well, that was in Coshocton yesterday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The 26th of this month, on a Sunday from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, will be the Mount Vernon Square. I've got a list of contacts I'm going to get a hold of. I got the flyer printed up. And it doesn't have to be a pastor. It could be Glenn Claremont. J.R. Harrison's coming to speak. Different ones. No. We'll have some pastors, but we need some other men. So,
folks, look, hey, folks, we need to make Christianity more than about the pastor. We've got to move beyond that. I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you're going to church right now, your pastor probably doesn't know what you know.
That's what the one pastor said yesterday. He said, we don't need to wait on the pastors. You come out. And he was pointing to people. I was like, let's go. It's time to share. The statistic was yesterday, 95% of the Christian churchgoers don't even share the gospel with somebody or get leaded by the Lord.
They don't know how to. Their best attempt at sharing the gospel is inviting people to their church, right? To an organization. So, and then we have churches against churches. I'm sorry if it's the same song over and over. We're in the mess that we're in because we keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
We'll get you in the schedule.
Get me in there. Go ahead.
And it tried to do the songs.
Yeah.
We'll get her up there. That's good.
Amen. She's the greatest grandma ever born. My wife, Michelle. Ain't nothing like her. See you tomorrow.